You're listening to What's Happening on KTWH. Kenny Blumenfeld, senior climatologist with the Minnesota DNR, is with me on the phone. Thanks for being here, Kenny.
Always a pleasure.
It is always a pleasure, I have to say. It really is something I look forward to every week. And I missed last week, and you pretty much nailed something big coming, and it came. We had some pretty terrific winds. We were not gauging it, but we did have a pretty major tree come down on our street and another pretty major tree come down with our neighbor. And when we talked to the fifth graders this week, a lot of them had some tree down stories too. But on the other hand, we got about less than an inch of rain. And then listening to reports, it sounds like a lot of other places got a lot more rain. So that's my take on what we got. What can you tell us about the past week?
Yeah, I mean, the big story was definitely this storm that came through. And by storm, of course, I'm referring to a low pressure system. Pardon me. It's called an extratropical cyclone or a mid-latitude cyclone. It's just a big L that you see on the weather map. This one is about the size of, I'd say half the U.S. and a little part of Canada. It's pretty strong. And the winds that you got were, I mean, this was the most intense phase of the storm was as it was back in Nebraska. It was still kind of, the pressure was dropping, so that pressure gradient was increasing. But the front side of the storm, so that would be about a 400 mile across area. And I mean 400 miles across kind of a large area from the center of the storm out to basically the Canadian border, into Lake Superior and into western Wisconsin. That whole region saw a kind of a smushing of the front side of this storm because there had been high pressure. Remember, we had sort of a nice weekend.
Yeah.
There'd been high pressure and really dry air. You have to remember that before the storm hit, your region was in what's called a red flag warning for fire concerns,
right?
Because it was so windy and dry still, and then the moisture moved in and kind of changed that story a bit, at least for now. And those dry conditions were because of high pressure that was pretty stubborn, kind of stuck in place, wasn't moving much. And so as this powerful low pressure system tried to come out of Nebraska, it kind of hit this wall initially of high pressure, and that sort of constricted the size of the wind field or the pressure field and gave it a smaller area across which to exert all those pressure changes. Hmm. And so you had these really strong winds that, you know, came out of the east. And,
yeah,
you know, we were thinking here in southern Minnesota, I think the forecasters initially were looking at 50 to 60 mile an hour winds, and then maybe even some higher gusts once those afternoon thunderstorms came through. And we really ended up having 30 to 40 mile an hour winds. And then when later in the day after some of the storms passed, and kind of in between those storms, we did see some 50 mile an hour gusts kind of isolated across Minnesota. But it's a different story when you have an easterly wind coming off of the lake. And, you know, I mean, I don't have to tell folks who live along the North Shore what a strong easterly wind can mean.
Right.
That's what you had. I mean, unrestricted flow.
Yeah.
There's nothing
right
blocking that wind until it gets on land. So the first thing it hits, it's gonna absorb the full force of all of that accumulated momentum. And so, I mean, trees down, not super surprising. I imagine that on some of those sections of shore where the land kind of turns a little bit and it's a little more north-south oriented, I imagine in those areas the waves were probably pretty spectacular.
Yeah. Yeah, the waves were definitely good. I will say that, like, overnight, I don't know if the wind was dropping or just every degree it shifts to the north, the waves drop, you know, because when we got up in the morning, the next day it was, the wind was still flowing, but the waves were not what they would have been had they been building all night. So that's always interesting to see And then I think it just eventually veered northwest. And then even though it was still blowing, there was pretty much no wave. So we always have the added drama of the lake to watch when we get a storm like that.
You do. Yeah. And also the storm weakened as it moved. I mean,
yeah, okay.
Basically, it was kind of in its final moments when it was raining there. There wasn't much energy left.
Yeah.
After, you know, once you got into, into Wednesday, there really wasn't much left at all by that time. So that would be another thing that slackens the pressure gradient, which slackens the winds and allows things to kind of calm down. And it's an interesting, we used to have to do these equations, but you can actually sort of calculate what happens to the wind speed and the wind direction if you don't change the location of the low pressure center. So you don't change that, but you just change its intensity, which changes the pressure gradient. You actually get a response in the wind direction without the storm having moved at all. It's just like the relaxation of flow and the excitement of it. Both of those can actually influence wind direction as well as speed.
But then
the precipitation.
I was just going to say that too, that we not getting quite as much rain as we might have. Seems like that's what happened too.
Yeah. Although I want to say you're doing pretty well for the month. And most of Minnesota is now in better shape. We're certainly not out of the woods, and I don't want to make light of, we're going to be talking about it for a while because it's going to take a long time to get out of this multi-year deficit that we've basically been accumulating since 2020. Most of the state's 10, 15 inches short over the last 3.5 years or so. So I don't want to make light of that, but the last month in particular has been pretty good for hydroclimate recovery, at least on the short term. So, we always have incomplete data, so it's kind of hard to know exactly, where there might be some holes in this pattern. But, April precipitation in Duluth is only slightly below normal, and the year-to-date precipitation in Duluth is only slightly below normal. And that's actually pretty good because they lost significant ground during, the period where it really wasn't snowing in January and February and December, of course, too. So even being slightly below normal means we've made up some pretty good ground. International Falls is a little bit drier. North Central Minnesota and Northwest Minnesota are the areas that we're still watching where they just haven't gotten the same amount of precipitation as the rest of us have. If we look at our faithful Cocoraz maps, you see over the last 30 and 60 days and for the year to date, even kind of bright colors, lots of precipitation over central, southern, and northeastern Minnesota, right up the shore, where everyone's doing okay, near normal, maybe above normal in some areas. And then you go to the west. So basically the headwaters of the Mississippi area, through into Itasca County, up to the border, International Falls, and then over to the west to the Red River. Those areas have been dry through kind of the Red Lake area. Those areas are still, they're about as behind now as they were during the wintertime. They haven't really had much in the way of meaningful recovery. So we got our eyes on them. But this precipitation we got over the last week was, around an inch in the lower North Shore area from Two Harbors down to Duluth, and then a bit more than an inch, 1 to 2 inches generally, in the southern two-thirds of Minnesota.
And from our talks previous, it seems like, really filling up the underground water, like that takes more than just one big event, right? So, how long has it been since those signals were either full or, non-drought? You're saying previous to 2020. We're not about to get rid of that, are we?
No, it's going to take some time. So you're absolutely right. I don't you know, I think it depends on how well the water infiltrates into the bedrock and into aquifers in certain areas. I mean, there's different soil types, there's different vegetation, right. there's different slope. And all of that kind of modulates or controls how well the water is going to make right. it into the ground. And that's just on top of, you know, you obviously are requiring, you just need precipitation. It's going to be, you know, it's going to take a while. We would need to be wet for the year, maybe,
right.
in some areas. Basically have a consistently wet season, right through the growing season, before we'd really see a sustained increase in lake and water levels, especially those when they're affected by groundwater levels. So you could get, you know, if we get wet for a couple months, sure, the rivers and whatnot are going to bounce. Lakes might increase a little bit in their level. But if the water isn't making it into some of those deeper sources too, then if you get into another dry period, the levels will just come back down, which is what we've been seeing in between and after every wet phase that we've had for the last 4 years. We get a little bounce, the river levels, the lake levels go up, but then you resume the dry conditions and they just go back down again. So I think you got to be,
yeah.
you got to look at this as a long game. It will take sustained, really sustained recovery. And we don't want it to happen too quickly because we can't handle the kind of quantities of water that we're short right now. We can't handle those quantities coming in a short amount of time either. So
yep.
you have to be picky. You need to come out of it slowly and kind of consistently.
Yeah, yep. And I would love to ask you, but we're out of time, but hopefully we got a good week coming up and we'll talk to you again next week. Thanks, Kenny.
Yeah, we will. Enjoy your week. No big weather, really.
Okay.
I'll talk to you next Friday.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay. Take care. Kenny Blumenfeld, Senior Climatologist with the Minnesota DNR.